is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualitypluskonsulting.com. This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Manji, Education Matters for WGTD Gateway 91.1 HD. Thank you for your ongoing support of Gateway, our radio programming, and for listening to us this morning. This is the fifth in our series of people in southeastern Wisconsin being kind as we recognize and celebrate the many people of our communities who are making a difference. Thanks to Troy McDonald and Dave Cole for their assistance this morning. Doing as much good as you can for as long as you ever can, that's one of Oprah Winfrey's fine quotes. And today we are honored to have Jack Rose, board member and past president of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, to talk to us about mental health issues, strategies, the beautiful and wonderful work that NAMI is doing in our community. And we're going to start off with Jack, and he's going to tell us what NAMI is doing. But first, I am holding a piece of the Olympic track from the Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia, 1996, that Jack Rose stopped by Bradford High School to give to me, to Joe Manji and his staff at Bradford High School. All the best, Jack Rose. Jack, that's how we first met, and I still have this. I look at it every day, and thank you so much from all those many years ago.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure. So glad that I could do that.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. So that's how we met, you know?
Yes.
And it's been a wonderful relationship ever since. So, Jack, NAMI does so very, very much, and for so long of a period of time with mental illness. And I know you have education, support, programming. Can you tell us a little bit about what NAMI is doing? And
sure.
We'll go from there.
I'll be glad to, Joe. And thank you very much for the opportunity to be here. And so the National Alliance on Mental Illness here in Kenosha County has been in existence since 1983. This is our 35th year. We're an all-volunteer organization. We have a great board of directors, and our whole purpose is to improve the quality of life for people living with mental illness here in our community. Mm-hmm. And we do this through education, support, and advocacy. We continually promote recovery, because as you know, there is no cure at this time for mental illness.
Right.
And we continually fight the stigma that is associated with mental illness. I think we have a very effective network here in the community. We take nearly 400 calls yearly.
Wow.
With people that are looking out, trying to find out how to navigate the system for mental health and how to get some help. And so I think that's important. And we have a very collaborative network of different organizations in our community. I think the Division of Aging and Disability Services is key. Kenosha Human Development Services, the contract crew that really supports mental health in our community. We have received a great deal of support from the county exec, and this is all important, but we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mental health piece and the services are under the county. And so you need that support, and the funding, the budgets, all that goes through the county board, and we get the funding to... We don't, NAMI doesn't, but the community mm-hmm. gets the funding for that. We the National Alliance on Mental Illness, we really appreciate the input from the community. We just had our kickoff to our annual fundraiser at Tenuta's.
I saw you there, yeah.
And it's a very grassroots operation.
Right.
And as you roll into later in the year, we'll have, during Mental Illness Awareness Week, we'll have the same type of approach. Mm-hmm. But the people of the community, our citizens, have been very helpful in supporting us financially and providing volunteers. And this is important, how to get things done.
You cover so many aspects of our community, starting with young people, and I think you have a program called Ending the Silence.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Ending the Silence is a NAMI program that we have brought to Kenosha, and basically what it is, it's a two-person team that goes into schools, Kenosha Unified. That's where we started out, and we go into high school classes, and we have found that the health class is a good place to start. Mm-hmm. So we come in, it's about a 45-minute session, you have two people, you show mm-hmm. video, and then part of that two-person mm-hmm. team is one of our Inner Own Voice presenters, and that's another program, and Inner Own Voice is the program where somebody living with a mental illness tells their story.
Okay.
And they talk about the dark days, and they talk about the acceptance, and they talk about the treatment, and they talk about their coping strategies, and they talk about their hopes and dreams. And this has been extremely effective, and we've had cases in the school where a student will come up and say, "You're talking about me.
Sure.
That's me." And so with that, then we use our network to try to get help for that student. And it's been very effective. And probably to date here, I guess over the last 3 years, we're up over 3,000 students and staff that we have touched with our Ending the Silence. And it's been effective. And we will continue to do that. And now we also are expanding that out into the county schools. Mm-hmm. We're working on that, and we'll keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And we have a great team, these two-people team that go out and do this. They're fantastic. They really are.
That's amazing, 3,000 students. That's just amazing. Mm-hmm. I know you have a program at UW-Parkside, Active Minds. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Active Minds is not actually our program. Active Minds is a group that are at some colleges, and it's a support group, and it's an effort to gather college students who are living with a mental illness or have mm-hmm. a problem, and they try to help them out. And I think, as you know, each college in the system is required to have support for people that mm-hmm. are living with issues such as mental health issues. But what we did this past year in our pilot, we have one of our board members, Kelly Andrick, is also an officer in the police department out of Parkside.
Okay.
So she's our excellent point person. And Dolly Sharosky, who works with our Ending the Silence program, she's also one of our support facilitators. They got together with the Active Mind programs, and we started a support session for college students
sure.
out there. Did a test program, and we're going to have it again this fall at Parkside. So it's just another way of bringing people together. A key piece is that you don't have to go through this alone. If you're living with a mental illness, there are people out there to help.
Right.
And that goes for not only the person that is living with it, but also to our family-to-family program. Sometimes the families need as much help as the person living with the illness.
Sure, and you're developing good listeners. You know, we're part of Peace Learning Circles. We're the bullying prevention. Troy is part of us.
Yeah.
Interestingly, we're learning as we're going, and to your point, We asked our fourth grade students this year, tell us about a good listener in your life. Who can you go to who will listen to you? And one little girl raises her hand and says, my pet bunny, my pet rabbit, Molly. Next little kid raises his hand and says, my dog, Wrigley. I remember Wrigley. I thought it was a really cool name for a dog. Third kid raises her hand, my pet cat, Sneakers. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I sure do.
And we're the teacher, the classroom teacher, and we have a team also of two, three people, and we're looking at each other like, whoa, wait a minute. And one of our schools is a county school, and a lot of kids board horses. Their families have horses. So we went through Ginger, and we went through Speckles, and we're not hearing any adults. Kids are going home, and they need somebody to listen to them. And one after another, and it even got to my pet turtle, Fred. Okay, I thought that's a great name for a turtle, Fred. But we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally one little guy in the back row raises his hand, and I think he picked up something. He says, well, my dad. And we're going, oh, okay, you can talk to your dad? Well, not really. He's quiet when my mom is yelling at him. So, but we're not good listeners in our society. And if fourth grade kids are coming home saying their pets are the ones who listen to them, I mean, with what you're doing, you're developing good listening skills, I'm guessing. Are you? I mean, you talk a little bit about that?
No, sure. I think we have to. But I agree with you 1,000% that our society, we are not good listeners at all. We really aren't. And when you're trying to help someone who is living with a mental illness, you need to listen. And you need the person to make that contact because that helps so much. It really is. Yeah. And in lieu of having that personal, the children bring out an aspect of treatment, really.
Right.
You know, not necessarily when I think treatment, you know, you think medication right away. Boom.
Right.
Medication. Talk therapy. Boom. Right away. But it's that overall piece, you know, it's that other piece. You know, I mean, people living with a mental illness have a life expectancy of 25 years shorter.
Wow,
so
I didn't know that.
If you can work on the wellness of the individual,
right?
And some of the things that are coming out now as far as what is helpful, we have some of the programs.
Mm-hmm.
We have some that we've started here. We have a program with NAMI and YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
This started probably three or four years ago.
Okay.
Where we had a social worker and five clients. And we said, well, let's try this out. Let's have that group go out to the Y. They could go out there. We paid for a small membership. They could take the group. They could go around. Do the a different, go for a walk, go
sure.
in a pool, shoot some hoops, whatever. Today, we have over 400 people that utilize the YMCA here in Kenosha that are going through the recovery process.
Wow.
And it helps their independence, and it's on a bus line, and they can just go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been a fabulous program. To this other piece, this overall wellness. And another one that we do is the walkabout rewards.
Okay.
And again, it started
five
years ago. And we have, again, support groups that do walking.
Mm-hmm.
And you do 30 recorded sessions of walking. You get a certificate.
Right.
You take that certificate out to Rogan Shoes, the manager out there, Chuck
really?
Gustafson, great guy. And he looks at the certificate, and he'll fit you with a pair of shoes that's for Joe Mangi.
Wow.
Not for Troy, but for Joe. I mean, individual. It's not
right.
throwing a bunch of shoes at kids.
That's interesting. That's great for people to know.
Oh, and it's now I think we've provided over 100 shoes, 105 shoes, something right. like that. And the third one we just did this summer is write-about rewards, where we had the help of the Kenosha Police Department, the police department at Parkside. We gathered some bicycles that needed work that they had picked up.
Sure.
We went to Southport Rigging, Ralph Ruffalo, great guy who helped us out. He fixed the bikes, and then he would get a helmet, and lights were provided, and a lock. And so when the person... And we worked out a distribution system. Brad Kramlett, one of our board members, did just an outstanding job. And so the people were selected for the bicycles. They came in and said, that's my bike. So you got fitted for the bike, you got fitted for the helmet, and you got a lock, and you had lights on it, and we're going to see. And so we distributed, I think it's 9 bicycles. And this is a pilot program. Mm-hmm. But it's another, it helps the overall physical aspect, but it's also transportation. So, I mean, this is, we're going to continue doing this.
That's awesome. And it's good for people to know. And you touched on two things, Jack. I mean, I'm guessing physical activity is important for mental health.
Yes, it is.
As well as connectedness.
Yes.
We talked about this as we were walking in, building friendships. But you're walking in groups of people, twos, threes, and maybe more.
Right.
And you're bicycling in groups of people. So it's not only physical activity, it's connecting.
Yeah, you're hooking up with people.
Right.
But I'd like to mention one other thing back to the kids.
Right.
When they were talking about their duck or their cat or their
right.
dog, I think we're finding in society that people living with a mental illness – and I know some examples right here in town that they may have a service dog.
Okay.
And the service dog has just helped people out immensely.
Yeah.
And so they're going to animals to for comfort, for help
right.
as a service animal. And
right.
it works. It works too. So I know these kids are onto something, but it's too bad
right.
that there couldn't be more parents.
I would always meet with the kids who were in trouble when I was principal at Bradford High School, and a 15-year-old girl just blew my mind. I sat down with her, and we had a couple of Cokes, and I said, you know, Jenny, I'm not going to scold you. I'm not going to give you advice. I'm not going to belittle you. I'm just going to shut up and listen. Tell me what's going on. And it took a couple of times, and she finally said, you know, Mr. Manji, I'm not perfect, but parts of me are excellent, and you in the school don't see my excellent parts. And that stuck with me forever, that everybody has a special talent or skill, and we need to accentuate that. And we often don't give kids a chance to let us know what their talent is.
Right, right.
She had a talent for art. So our auto shop teacher was losing kids. He had never had a female student before. She's the first one. And he's got old jalopies the kids are fitting on. So she goes to the teacher and said, they look awful. Let me do some detailing. Can I do that? Our teacher loaned her the paints. And we put these old jalopies out on the front of the school for everybody to see as they walked in.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, I mean, there was some amazing artwork on these cars, you know, with the flames and
sure,
all of this.
Sure, sure.
All kinds of girls were signing up for this class. Last time I heard of Jennifer, I think she's the CEO of 3 AutoZone stores in the suburbs of Cleveland.
Really?
So... there you go. If you find what the talent and skill is, and I'm sure you do this with all of the things you're doing with Parkside and with the kids in school, that's awesome. So can we take a little bit of time to talk about people like me, elderly senior citizens who have lots of aches and pains, and we're losing our loved ones left and right. What do you have for people in the last third of their lives? I'll give you an example. I get kidded a lot. So you don't have to tease me. I know I'm old. You know, I can't donate blood anymore, Jack.
Really?
I'm too old. My blood type's been discontinued. Well, you can't tell that joke to an older person because they freak out and they want to make an appointment with Dr. Fullan to have their platelets checked, you know? So, yeah, and about listening, I can't get to the punchline anymore, you know? I'm as old as the mummy. I have two more lines to get to, you know?
Right.
I'm as old as the mummy. I go to the tomb once a week and get rewrapped. Nobody lets me get to the tomb and get rewrapped. You know, they don't even listen. People don't listen to your joke. You know, I have to speed things up.
Right.
So anyway, what do you got for senior citizens? Or
I think that the whole thing, and I mean, it may not be something like this, but we've talked about it. You need to stay connected.
Right.
And I really believe, and I know you're avid baseball, and you've been baseball.
I love
do
baseball.
That. You love baseball. But, I mean, you've got to find that interest. And I think there are many things that can be done as we all age.
Right.
That we really need to try to do the best we can to keep our parts. And keep our parts, take care of our parts.
Right.
Because our body talks to us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do something that fosters that, I think it's outstanding. I think as we all get older, case in point, I'm from the Naval Academy and graduated 68.
Wonderful.
This October, we're going to go out for our 50th reunion.
Wow.
So when we were at the Academy, we had 36 different companies.
Wow.
Okay, that was a structure.
Sure.
And in a company, you have representation from all four classes. You know, you're going to have, as we were, plebes, and then you have youngsters.
Sure.
Or, you know, right on up. Well, in our company, our classmates from 68, nobody has passed away yet.
Oh, wow.
And so that is going to be pretty key, because as we all grow older and we have friends, and some of our friends are like brothers.
Yeah.
And so that's a difficult situation that we have to deal with.
That's amazing, Jack. Counterpoint, I was in the Peace Corps in Iran from 66 to 68, and I've lost all of my buddies who have passed away, all of them.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's only, out of the 36 of us that were over there at the time, I think half of us are gone.
Yeah.
So, to have everybody still in one piece.
I think we graduated 22. We started with about 31, something like that.
Wow.
So that core. But one other thing, too, with friends that we lose and family that we lose, I think we are very fortunate here in Kenosha to have Pastor Charlie Hansen.
Okay.
Charlie Hansen is by far one of the best grief specialists. He's helped out friends. He's helped out some of our neighbors, and he is a good person to get in contact. And I don't have his
what
phone number.
What parish is he with, Jack?
He is the church. It's right over by the Crisis Prevention Center. Right there, kind of kitty corner from the Gateway Mortgage. But I'll get you Charlie's number.
Okay. That's awesome to know.
Yeah.
So, everyone, this is Joe Mangi, Education Matters, and we're with Jack Rose from NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, and this is WGTD Gateway 91.1 HD. And thank you ever so much for listening to us this morning. Jack, this is really awesome. You were talking about Charlie Hansen, and he's a crisis prevention or grief prevention counselor. I'm sure people can Google him, and at the end of the program, we'll We'll get a number.
I have, if I may, Charlie's number is 262-515-4430.
Okay. Maybe one more time.
Yeah, certainly. 262-515-4430.
Okay. Jack, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. So I know it's on people's minds, but Anthony Bourdain, a gourmet chef, world traveler, TV personality, Robin Williams, actor, comedian, superstar, Kate Spade, fashion designer. And you mentioned earlier in the program that suicides are up by 30% 1999 to 2016. So creative people, what's happening? Why are so many celebrities doing this to themselves?
It's hard to say. I think some people with mental illness, and again, I'm here as a parent. Mm-hmm. We've got two adult children who have been affected with mental illness, and we count our blessings every day, and both are doing fine, but it's been a long journey. But with that being said, if you have an individual that is living with, let's say, depression, mm-hmm. with clinical depression.
Sure.
And there are treatments for that, and they work. And but also on the flip side, if you don't take care of it or attempt to treat it, it can be one of the largest keys for suicide.
Okay.
Okay. That particular disease. It's
right.
It's huge, the percentage of people are living with depression. It's very large, and again, if the people are treating it, they can have a beautiful life. Our son mm-hmm. lives with depression.
Wow.
And he's got a beautiful family.
Sure.
He's successful in business. He is an associate creative director. So mm-hmm. we were talking earlier about mm-hmm. you know, how talented people. Just because you have a mental illness doesn't mean you're not intelligent or you're not creative.
Right.
So where I'm going with this is that you need to, if you're diagnosed, to do the best you can to stay on the treatment program, whatever mm-hmm. that treatment program may be. And I think we have an opportunity here in Kenosha. We're going to be having a viewing of a movie called The Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's about suicide. It's a very realistic movie, and it would be appropriate for high school on up. And that viewing is going to be at Tinseltown.
Okay.
On Wednesday night. 6 p.m. on September 12th.
Okay.
Okay, so that'll be coming up. And if anybody has any questions on that, please contact our co-president, Lisa Zanin,
mm-hmm.
and she'll be able to help you out on that. But it's a real depiction, and it's real, so it's not necessarily a family movie
sure.
for bringing the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because suicide, having lost friends to suicide, it's very difficult, and you lose someone, and you think back, what could I have done
mm-hmm.
to maybe change it? But I think a key piece that helps in this, when you have someone that may be considering suicide, and that we have a program here. Debbie Ruber has brought it to our community, and she's mm-hmm. still very effective, and it's the QPR program. Question, persuade, and refer. And so if you have a loved one or a family member or a friend, and you can ask them, are you thinking about suicide?
Okay.
And the thing is, you may not be able to do that, but if you can refer that person to someone who can,
to a third
party,
sure.
that's what you need to do. And it's so important in these discussions that when you ask the question, you listen, and you do it in an environment that puts the person at ease. It's not something that you kind of, in passing, well,
sure,
you're thinking about suicide, I'll talk to you later. No, that's wrong.
Right.
You need to be with an individual. You need to listen to that individual. And, you know, they say one of the keys is I just feel hopeless. That's not good. So you need to listen. You need to stay with the person. And you need to get the person some help,
mm-hmm,
okay? And it's not always easy. And if the listeners out there, if you feel like you can't do it, find somebody who can. But stay with that person at that time.
There's mental illness in my family also, and I read a really good book a while back, It's Not Your Fault, about trauma can occur in a family that crosses generations. And so my mother, lost her mother when she was two,
mm-hmm,
lived in upstate New York, had two brothers and a sister. But for some reason, her father farmed her out to Milwaukee to live with an aunt and an uncle that were childless.
Mm-hmm.
And so that affected my mother forever. In her mind, her family disowned her. My father grew up in New York City, and he lost his father when he was 16 in an accident. And so he had to quit, drop out of high school, and take care of his family. So is there something to that, that it, trauma in a family can cross, travel through generations, and you say to people, it's not your fault. What you've been saying from the outset, it's mental illness is an illness.
Right, exactly.
And there shouldn't be a stigma attached to it, and it's not your fault. It's
right.
Am I on the right track? Or?
No, you are, and you are. I mean, to share, you know, another aspect of it with the whole stigma thing, I really believe that the younger generations are becoming more accepting of mental illness.
Okay.
I really believe that, because you talk to some of the students, the kids, when you're giving this, they're open and they discuss it. Whereas my sister lived with mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so passed away, I guess, 4 years ago now, and she actually died of cancer. But my mom never accepted the fact that she had a daughter with mental illness.
Sure.
Didn't happen. Not in her family. And that's just the way it was. So I think that the generations are getting better. I think there's a lot more information now that people can learn more about it. And as you said, it's a disease. It's not somebody with bad energy. It's not somebody that, well, he's lazy,
mm-hmm,
or he or she. No, it's an illness. And I think one thing that we do, and one of our education pieces,
mm-hmm,
we have a program that called Voices.
Okay.
Voices, you take an MP3, you plug people in, you know, earbuds, and it's about a 45-minute routine. And what the Voices does is it replicates somebody living with schizophrenia,
okay,
and hearing voices, okay?
Wow.
So you can do this, and we have done it to Comprehensive Community Services, CCS, to staff. Last year, I went out to the jail staff, part of their in-service at the Kenosha County Detention Center, downtown jail,
mm-hmm,
and they gave me I had a couple-hour window, and so we went ahead, and I did it to the jail staff.
Wow.
And so you get them plugged in, and then you have them do fifth grade math.
Sure.
You have them read and answer questions. You have them fill out an application for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then you distract them. You personally distract them. Or you get them and you answer questions really fast.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, if you do that and the person just kind of looks at you, some people may take that, well, you're just blowing me off. Why aren't you answering these questions?
Mm-hmm.
You lose them.
Yes.
You go too fast. By the time you get through half of the first question, they have no idea. That's why you need to, when you're talking to somebody, you need to really temper it.
Right.
You need to try to listen, but for somebody living with a mental illness, it's going to take them a while to understand what you're trying to say. We did the same thing, went over to the Shalom Center. And this past winter, the Shalom Center at their new facilities put an area where they had 10 beds, 10 cots, so people could come in out of the weather in the wintertime.
Sure.
And so we tried to show the staff, I mean, if somebody came in and maybe had schizophrenia,
mm-hmm.
and just how you don't come in and start hollering and just raise the tempo, you're mm-hmm. going to lose it. You have to be very patient. But both whether they're jail staff, whether they're volunteers or staff at Shalom Center, whether it's CCS people, or we do it for crisis intervention team training for our police officers.
Mm-hmm.
We do it for crisis intervention partner, which is that 2-day course that we offer.
Sure.
And so it really makes an impression on people.
We did this tennis ball juggling thing with our teachers, and anybody can juggle one tennis ball, but the tennis balls were aligned with issues that our kids were facing. So I have one tennis ball and I throw it in the air, and that's racism. Now I take a second tennis ball and I'm juggling poverty and racism. Now I take a third tennis ball and I'm juggling maybe a language barrier. I can't do it. You throw in a fourth, toxic family. You throw in a fifth, health issues. You throw in a sixth. There's nobody alive. But there were a couple people that could juggle three. But it was a visual exercise where hardly anybody could juggle three tennis balls. But these are issues that
right.
there are a lot of balls in the air that people are juggling.
Yes.
So
yes.
Before we run out of time, internet bullying and how it affects kids, what do you got?
Well, I think you can see it. There are cases that with the internet, it's much easier to get to somebody and really, really to get at them. And, you know, we had bullies when we were in school.
We sure did.
We did.
Yeah.
But now it's constant. And it's extremely difficult. And I think sometimes we don't have an adolescent support system right now where we need a facilitator. And we're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you get it in our support sessions when people come in and the kids, and once they get a rapport with the facilitator, it's amazing what some of these kids go through.
Right.
You know? And so you really got to reach out to them. I think another thing that is important for teachers, and that whether it's caused by bullying, don't really know, but it's the quiet kid mm-hmm. in the class, in the corner, that you need to hook up with.
Right.
And with your three balls in the air,
mm-hmm.
if you're lucky enough, maybe only two, and now you've got that kid in the corner, that's tough. Because
right.
that one-on-one, when that teacher goes to the kid, and I'm sure some of the teachers are saying, well, you're really idealistic now. How are we gonna? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just speaking from... You know, there may be a connection. And just recently over at Washington Middle last year, talking to the staff.
Sure.
And that's the key piece. And you get the buy-in from the teachers. itself.
I had a great counselor from South Division High School, one of my mentors, John Ward, telling me about the 2x10 strategy, that if you're a teacher or a principal and you see a student that's having a tough time, not connecting with anyone, maybe he's in trouble, if you spend 2 minutes a day with that student for 10 consecutive days, that's the strategy, and I use that at Bradford forever, and it works. Mm-hmm. So you'd come up to a student and, you know, hey, I'm Mr. Manji, your principal. How you doing? You know, what do you want? Well, you following me? I didn't do nothing, you know. Yeah. No, I just wanted to say hello, you know. And so you keep it up. And then I would tell kids, I'm going to get you. You know, I'm going to keep coming back. And by the fifth time, we were actually having a conversation. But it's 2 minutes, 10 consecutive days. Sixth day, if I'm walking down the hall and I have a furrow on my brow and I'm racing to something, and this same kid, hey, Manji, how come you didn't say hello? So after the fifth time, it flipped. And by the tenth time, but you got to keep it going. You know,
right.
It can't be a one and done. But yeah, that 2x10 strategy is something that really works. But
right.
It, like you said, Jack, it's building that connection. Reaching out to kids, you got to be doing that.
Right, and you got to listen to the kids too,
because yes.
It takes you a while. I mean, you may not get it right away,
right?
Whether you're walking in the passageway or whether the kid's in the corner, but it persistence.
Yeah.
There's another good story I would share with you from Dr. Eileen Abrams, and she talks about the importance of being a mentor. And many times I think a teacher can be a mentor to
yes.
somebody. And about the kid that was going into the and how you need a relationship. And the story is, kid would go in and he was bagging groceries in New York City for people in the store. And he says, well, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm just trying to help you out here. And he says, well, do you need some help? Yeah, I could. You know, mm-hmm. We don't have any money. So long story short, the guy gave him a job and was his mentor, and that individual happened to be Colin Powell.
Oh, wow.
So he's a believer.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and one more thing I would like to say, and I know we're probably getting short on time, but we had talked about the family-to-family.
Yes, please
and
do.
And that's for family members and friends of people living with a mental illness. And coming up here, we have it starting in January. We've had great classes. We have one at the Job Center, one out at the County Center building. We had last year, I think we completed 42. It's a 12-week course. But this year, we're going to reach out to the Hispanic community, and we're going to have a family-to-family in Spanish.
Wonderful.
And we've tried this a couple of times in the past, and we're going to try it again. And we want to reach out and trying to touch base with the Hispanic community and have them come in. So we are going to have this at the ELCA Outreach Center,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to start on September 8th. It's on a Saturday starting at 9 o'clock. And anybody that at all is interested, please contact CC Giraldo. At 630-267-6204. Cece is the director, coordinator for our Family to Family in Spanish, and she will be more than happy to talk to the folks that are interested, and we really need to try to get this going. And there will be care for the little kids. While they're there, if you've got a family, mom and dad want to come in, they'll be available, but it's going to be at the ELCA Outreach, and it's going to start on Saturday, September 8th, and it'll be we want to get it done by Thanksgiving, so it'll be 11 consecutive Saturdays. So please, contact us.
Jack, it's amazing what NAMI is doing, what you're doing. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being on our program. This is Joe Manji, Troy McDonald, Jack Rose for WGTD. HD with Gateway, and we thank you so much for listening to us. Have a great day, everyone.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. And